Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the April 4th, 2016 Othello City Council Workshop. And I'll call this meeting to order. And if you'd all please rise. I'd like everyone to say a silent prayer for the wisdom of this council and the blessing upon this city. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1.04 on tonight's agenda is the roll call. And tonight, we have council members Snyder, Bain, Lawless, and McCord with us. And council members Everett, Doro, and Garza are excused from tonight's meeting. They let either myself or Debbie know that they had other plans. So this time, I'd entertain a motion to excuse the absent council members tonight.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.05 on our agenda is citizen input. Is there any citizen input tonight from any of our local residents? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2.01 and our current business, Main Street Debt Refinance Options. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I wanted to do just a couple of things tonight. One, or the first is do a quick overview of the current long-term debt payments that we make, the current three debts that we have. And then Andrew Face is accompanying me tonight from Martin Nelson Company. And he is going to be here to talk about some refinancing options that we have to get some better deals and save some taxpayer dollars. These are the three debts that we have. We only have three. Last year, we had one drop off, and the year before that, we had one drop off. So here, we're left with one public works trust fund loan for our water, for well six, I believe, well six. And this is the last year of that debt in June. And we'll make a final payment on that one. It has a 3.0 interest rate. The next one is the Broadway reconstruction that has a 0.5 interest rate, which is darn good. It's a public works trust fund. So I'm not looking to refinance that one tonight. And this one goes out, it's $30,000 a year approximately, and it goes out to 2026. This last one is the main item of a discussion tonight. These are the GO bonds for the Main Street project. Just under $3.2 million. And these are the bonds they go out to 2035. And the interest rate on those is in between 3.25% and 1.5%. So with those bonds, we're looking at doing things that can save us a little bit of money. And with that, here's Andrew with Martin Nelson.
Hi there, I'm Andrew Fish. I'm with Martin Nelson and Company. We're a bond underwriting firm in Seattle. We actually underwrote bonds for the city back in 01, I believe. I've been keeping an eye on this bond issue that the refunding candidate, as interest rates have dropped over the past, couple of years. Right now, we're in a very favorable interest rate environment, and these bonds become refundable, meaning there's a positive savings to them in doing the advanced refunding on the bonds. Now, you can see from the beautiful chart here, the debt service on the bonds that are outstanding right now are this pale blue line. And it's about $245,000, say, throughout the life of the bond issue. If you were to refund the bonds with an advanced refunding and keep the same life of the bond, so the original bond issue goes out to 2035, if you did a refunding out to that date, then you would save about $146,000 in present value terms, and that's, the industry uses a kind of a little calculation to determine kind of benchmark where, what's a good refunding and what's not. Anything over 5% is 5% present value savings, 5% of the refunded bonds, that's considered a superior savings. So, and that's kind of where you are right now. Rates, again, have hit their, you know, kind of historic lows. The Washington economy is doing pretty well. The national economy is doing okay, and the world economy is doing terrible. So right now we're in a great position to take advantage of lower interest rates and refinance those bonds. If there's another option to it with these types of bonds, you can shorten the bond issue. So if you just locked a year off, you would pay effectively the same debt service every year, but you would pay the bonds off a year in advance, and that would create a net present value savings of $170,000, or 6.22%, which is a very good refunding. Now, with these bonds, you're only allowed to, what you're doing is an advanced refunding, meaning these bonds were sold in 2010, and there's a 10-year call on those, which isn't until June of 2020. So we're a few years ahead of that. So what needs to happen is you sell new bonds that go to pay for an escrow and to pay the cost of issuance. And in that escrow, government securities are bought, treasuries basically are bought to make the debt service payments on those bonds up until the call date, and then those old bonds are paid off. But they're off your books as soon as that escrow is established. And the net impact of the debt service that you were paying versus the new debt service is a savings, and that's where you get the net present value savings. So are there questions on the process? It takes about 45 days to get into the market. We would prepare an official statement, basically a prospectus on the bonds, and that would be then sent out to investors who would, about a month hence, we'd have a listing on the bonds and establish at that point the interest rate on the bonds. What you would need to do then to get to that point is, we would also have bond counsel who was involved in the transaction. Bond counsel would prepare an ordinance that would give the authorization for the bonds. And that authorization would be passed by the board, and it would typically delegate to either the city administrator or finance officer approval to approve the sale of the bonds based on certain targets being met, say 5% present value savings or something like that, and certain interest rate constraints. So not just a blank check for them to approve it, but within some constraints. So at your next meeting, if you so choose, that could be approved by the council, and someone can get a motion on setting up a refund. Where rates are going, I want to point out though that with an advanced refunding, you only get one bite of the apple. The federal government has said, the IRS has said, municipalities only get one chance to advance refund the bonds. If we're at the call date, then you can call the bonds no problem and then do it again at the next call date, But as it is, you can only advance refund these bonds one time. So you want to make sure that it's the right one. And I unfortunately didn't bring the chart, but the interest rates are at historical levels right now. So it looks like a good refunding from our standpoint.
Council, you have questions? So the federal government would step in and pay off the bond?
No, what you, by selling bonds, you're getting more bond proceeds.
that would buy government securities, federal government securities, which earn, you know, taxable rates. And those securities would generate cash flow to pay off the old bonds. You will continue to pay on only your new debt.
Okay, so when it has, when it gets to maturity date, doesn't it have a value?
Yeah, so at the call date, so the maturity date on the, you're talking about the refund bonds then?
No, on the original bond.
Yeah, so on the original bonds, when you get to the call date, so the escrow is established and will make payments on the bonds that you've refunded. So they're fees, they're taken off of your books, and they're covered strictly by the escrow. That escrow would make payments until June of 2020, at which point it pays off in advance the bonds that would have matured December 2020 out to December 2035. That's what that escrow established. So it's the purpose, I mean, it's the use of the proceeds of the refunding bond issue is to buy government securities that will make the payment on those other bonds.
So the city would be completely out of that side, though.
Yes.
As far as we're concerned, we have, we would be getting rid of our $3.195 million debt at approximately 4.5%, and we would trade that in for the 2.675 interest rate.
Can we go from this debt service down to this debt service?
Yeah. When we were looking at these, we didn't want to extend the life of the debt. We don't want to go out to 2040, 2045. And so this option right here has the exact same ending, 2035. We do have this other one up here that would have just cut 1 year off. And then we see the savings. We'd have approximately the same level of payments every year. And then we just, the final year would be a bonus for us because we wouldn't have that last payment.
The freebie
year is what that would be creating. Yeah.
Then this option here is where we would just trade this one in and trade it out for this,
the lower interest rate. The years would be about the same. The annual savings we would see is in between $5,000 and $10,000 a year from the city money.
Council, have any more questions?
So why wouldn't we use the one that's going to save you $170,000 instead of $140,000?
Well, that's part of why we want some of your input. You as council, I think they're both good options. They both have merit. One has a little bit of savings early on and for the next 10 years. The other one, we only see the savings at the end of the 10 years. But we still see that savings. Either way, we get a much better interest rate. And with one, we see a little bit of savings every year, and one, we see the savings later on, but it's greater savings.
Mm-hmm. Those are the net present value savings at the end of the maturity of the bond. What's the annual cost savings?
So the annual savings is about, as Spencer said, between $5,000 and $10,000 on the gray option, I guess you call it. On the shorter option, there's, you know, virtually no yearly savings during the life of the bond issue, but it matures a year early, so you're not paying in 2035 that day. That year is your debt free. So it's a new one. So you want to, you know, take a little cash flow relief through the life or just short?
My question was, and it was just more of a curiosity question, why does the bond decisions have to go to our city finance and our financial officer, instead of coming before the council each time on these decisions?
It's the timing of the day that the rates are going to be changing every single day. And so we'll see an opportunity for the city money And we don't have a council meeting for another 2 weeks. So the if we don't have approval from the council to move ahead with the bond refinance, we would just wait for the council's approval.
Or have a special meeting. It's kind of a new option that's been made available for Washington municipalities, where the councils, because they, the pricing of a bond issue is very time sensitive. So we would price a bond issue on a date and need to meet with you either that evening or that next day to lock in those rates. So that the market moves and it doesn't always, it's not always convenient for the council to get a form together. So the legislature has begun to allow, pass something that allows this to be, you establish up front what your desire is and then leave it to your finance person or your city manager to carry out the directive that you've given them as directive.
So tonight,
but it's totally optional. You don't have to do it that way. You can always have a special meeting if you want.
I don't know.
You might have to arm wrestle these other chaps, but
kind of. So this current bond we have is it's a variable one.
No, it's a fixed rate. And this kind of skews it. If the sale was, from 0 to 250, it would look like a flat line.
Yeah.
But because we squished the scale to, to show a little difference there, it changes every year because it's actually structured in what's called level debt service, meaning level principal, total principal and interest every year. But bonds are sold in $5,000 increments. So you can see it's jumping between, 240,000 and 245,000 every year. Yeah, here's a.
So this is the repayment schedule that we have for it. Right, these are the rates. They're fixed, but each year they change slightly.
Oh, okay. That's why you put the variability in.
That has to do with it. So the average coupon that's being refunded is 4.438%, and the current interest rates are about 2.675%. So almost 2%.
Is there any cost up front for the?
That's all covered in the issuance of the bonds. So all the proceeds of the bonds will pay for cost of issuance. That's underwriter, bond counsel, escrow trustee, and then there's a CPA firm that verifies the escrow. Those four, basically four things, and the cost of producing the official statement. Those costs are covered by the proceeds of the bond. So what you see is then the debt service on the cost of the escrow and the cost of issuance, and that gives you a net savings. So the numbers, the savings of the show,
Okay. Back to
I wanted to
what I was saying.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that has issuance with $3 million a phone call away, and that's what we're here for on making these decisions?
You mean, do I have a problem with it?
Or am I the only one up here that sees that? I mean, that's why we're here, to make these type of decisions being turned over to.
Well, basically,
I know why. I understand what you're saying as far as, I know stocks, I'm into stocks and stuff, and I know how they move quickly and stuff.
Right, but this is like a win-win situation. It's a choice of do you want to get a return annually for a lower amount?
I don't have a problem with that part of it. I agree 100% with that part of it. What I am questioning is the part of it not having to come before the council to make a change on it.
Oh, no, it does. It does. That's why he's here, explaining it to us. We'll need to vote on this.
Still going
to
have to read the back page of this.
Yeah. So there are a couple.
The very last paragraph.
Am I understanding it wrong?
No.
That after we agree on
the administrator and to Spencer instead of the council.
Right. So after we agree upon this, from here on out, if they need to make any type of change whatsoever to these bonds and this funding, all they need to do is call the city administrator or Spencer to have it done.
Within the constraints that you laid out. So it's not, so if you establish that it has to be 5% net present value savings and rates go up, then when it gets time to pricing the bonds, we would just say we can't achieve it. The current market won't allow that savings level to be achieved, so we'll have to put that on the back burner and we'll just keep an eye on that. But if it meets the targets that you set for, then the delegating resolution allows them to go forward and approve it. If you want to do it where I come back and present the rates and all that stuff, totally fine with that too. It's an option for the convenience of the council and you're frankly all parties.
So we set the boundaries. If you can meet those boundaries, it's a go. If you can't meet those boundaries, it's not a go.
And don't take this in any way that I don't trust either one of y'all, but we were put up here for a reason.
Sure.
Yeah. Is to manage the city's money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not talking a $50,000 bond here, you know, yeah. So it has nothing to do with trust at all. It's what we were placed here to do.
That's why I was setting the parameters.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was just cock a block of your.
Yeah. But see, that wasn't explained to us then, so I feel a little better.
It's hard for me to understand that somebody's willing to buy a bond that's paying out at a high rate and then give you a lower rate.
Well, so.
It's like refinancing your house.
So the current bondholders, exactly. You hold those bonds and, you know, they bought them back in 2010, and they know, you know, bond investors, and these are probably typically banks are who buy these, and it'll be a group of banks, it'll be one bank that'll go out to probably 10 or 20 investors, institutional investors that buy these bonds. So they're kind of big boys, and when it comes to changing interest rates, they realize that, you know, if they hold these bonds, they're high coupon bonds, they run the risk of having them refunded. And they're actually going to hold them still for another 5 years, or 4 years, or however long the escrow runs for it. So they don't even, the people that own bonds that mature 2020 and on, they'll hold those until June of 2010, at which point rates could be a lot higher, or they could be lower, or they could be the same. That's my crystal ball answer for you. But so what I'm saying is they're not harmed at this point, and the new bonds will be sold to either new investors or probably a mix of people that already hold your bonds and then new investors that may be interested. That's how the market works. It's a very liquid market. It's not as liquid as cash or U.S. Treasuries, because it's, you know, they look at the full faith and credit of the city of Othello, and that's different than the federal government. But it's a broad market. The tax exempt municipal market is a broad market. That's another beautiful thing is that you can borrow at tax exempt rates, so you're borrowing it at, you know, 2 3/4%, less than 2 3/4%, on a 25-year deal.
Okay, what, council?
Gene, I understand where you're coming from on that, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of discussion before this next, is when we're going to vote on it this next week. What I'm saying is that the council ought to be 100% in agreement on we're going to go now or we're going to drag it out before we say, okay, Spencer or Wade, do what you got to do. We're in agreement with that.
No, just, I mean, the this is fine. I definitely want to see the parameters that you're suggesting next, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I'll show you, you know, whatever your like minimum savings for is, I'll show you what that produces. We just because that's we don't strive for the minimum. We strive to hit the market, to get the market rates, and so if the rates are better and provide a greater present value savings, then obviously we want to do the best for the city and get those lower interest rates and save you more money. But you want to just establish in your parameters the floor that you want to accept. And once you establish that, then we all work within that constraint.
So we have a series of parameters here. Can we use these as our parameters? We want to keep the end year 2035, the savings we want to keep.
Hold on. I would just as soon pay it off early.
Or we keep that. Yeah.
If we're going to do it, I'd rather pay it off early. We save more money. Just keep, I mean, it's only $5,000 difference. I mean, if the city can't afford that payment. In fact, what if we paid $250,000 even instead of $244,000? Probably pay it off 2 years early.
Yeah, with the LTGO bond issue, you have that option of shortening it or lengthening it. With the UTGO unlimited tax bond, you have to show positive savings in every year, so you can't typically shorten it very far because you have negative savings in the early years and it's not allowed. But with these LTGO bonds, if you want to shorten it to, you know, whatever, but it's about cash flow benefit, you shorten it, you'll increase your net present value savings because you're not carrying you're taking off $200,000 off the long end where the higher interest rates are. So your net present value savings improves every year you chop off, but your annual savings is going to disappear after you chop off.
I get that. Andrew, why don't you come back with three options and the council will vote on one of them Monday?
Okay.
Okay.
The thing I'd like it to be clear what the payoff is, or the pay, because the final maturity on the gray line is 2035. That's the same payoff as today.
Yeah.
The net present value savings is 146,715 at the end.
Over the life of.
Or
over the life is where's the.
So that's $5,000 annually for the next.
Yeah, between 5 and 10.
20 years.
Yeah.
In essence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So it'd be a $5,000 a year savings. The other one would be the same payment, and we would save $170,000 or that year. And I'm saying let's just also have an option at $250,000 a year payment. And where would that get us? Because I don't think there's a big difference between $244,000 and $250,000, at least not to the budget we have.
So, so this shows what your annual savings is in this column, and then the present value, in other words, saving those future dollars at the present value, the present valuing them back to today's dollars. So you go from your total savings is $177,000 on this structure, which is the gray structure, but present value dollars is less, it's $141,000. So with the other one, it's probably this savings is probably $190,000, and then net present is $170,000. And so you'd like at 250, your debt service is 250 a year, what does that come up with?
Right.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. So then we'll come back, we'll look at these other two you presented, we'll compare it to that, and then the council can make a decision. One, two, or three, or not at all.
Okay.
Okay? Guys like that?
Would you like to see an ordinance prepared also that you can then approve at that point and move forward?
Spencer?
That's up to you. So at your comfort, at, with your comfort level, these bonds will have certain rates and certain, the dollars that we present would be as of that day. What you as the council can do is we can either reconvene, have a special meeting whenever we need to have one, and have the council approve the
figures.
New bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the council can approve Wade and I to operate within certain constraints, like the certain
within certain interest rate
targets.
Yeah.
For the mm-hmm.
So once you've established what option you like, then you establish what credit value savings target you want, and we can get off to the races. And again, it's about it's like at least a 30-day process to prepare the official statement and get to the rating agency to do a rating on this also. And distribute the official statement and lock in the rates, then come back to you or have Wade and Spencer do the savings.
So how often do you review that to where it will require a decision?
Review which?
The rates. As far as, I know it's not a daily thing you're calling them.
Yeah, we're looking at, we're constantly in the, we have a, bond traders and
right.
salespeople that are
right.
constantly in the market. So we're always looking at rates, I'll update the numbers whenever asked by the city, or as we get closer to pricing, then when we release the official statement to the market, we want to know that we're going to be able to achieve, at that point, rates are where they need to be in order to exceed your savings threshold. And if that's the case, then we will release it. It'll still fluctuate until we lock in the rates on a specific pricing date. It's a negotiated process. And one thing I didn't point out initially that I typically do and should, under SEC rules, we're required as underwriters to disclose that we have an inherent conflict of interest in our role, because we have you as a client and we have the bond buyers as clients. Well, your goal is to get low interest rates and investors want higher interest rates. So, conflict of interest. I want to make that clear. My job, I work with cities and municipalities. I want them to be happy more than I care about the investors. But the whole thing works together to produce liquidity in the market.
So the question Andrew asked the council is do you want to prepare an ordinance?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
An ordinance
and those three options.
Three options. And would you like me to get those out to you ahead of time?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Next
right.
Monday?
Thursday, Friday at the latest, so okay. They can go on the council, have a chance to review it all over the weekend.
Okay.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Andrew.
I got one question. So, what does it cost the city as far as administrative cost?
So administrative cost meaning the cost of issuance? Again, it's net of, the savings you see is net.
So there's no immediate out-of-pocket expense?
No, that's
and is it after the four-year accruance that's collected?
So we work on a when and if issue basis. In other words, we get going here, set your ordinance, bond council prepares the ordinance, Our, you know, get the issue statement done, all that stuff ready to go. Rates turn and the savings target can be achieved. Just no harm, no foul, no payments are made until the bonds are closed. And I have
just so you know, there's a fee to us, there's a fee to the investors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so total cost of issuance are about $54,000. That's all in.
Okay.
So does that come out of our savings then? Or?
Yeah, so that the savings you see have already reflected that.
That's already been reflected.
Yeah.
Net franchise.
He wouldn't come before you and say that and then come back and take his money.
Just check.
By the way, yeah.
So, Spence, the figures you got here, 3.195 is the actual present value of the bond right now?
Yeah, that's the par value.
Okay. How much have we paid down already on the bond?
We've only been paying interest. This will be our first year of paying on principal.
Okay.
Yeah. And this year, I believe it's 110.
Yeah.
So is that what makes this work?
No, although it being a longer bond issue helps because the longer term interest rates have dropped significantly, so you can generate more savings. And if you shorten it, then it, you know, you see how it, just by shortening it 1 year, increases your present value savings. If we go to 250, probably take it at least another year off and have another nice jump in net present value savings. Does that work with the city's cash flow?
Yeah, so that would be another, it would just be about $5,000 a year, like the mayor said.
Yeah.
It would just mean that we wouldn't have that $5,000 for something else, but we're talking $5,000, not
$100,000.
Right. Or 50, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Anything else, council? Okay, satisfied? We'll take a look at it again next Monday. Well, have a chance to study the options better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be bringing something for us to vote on next Monday?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And then you guys will have this weekend to take a look at the different options, what the savings are, what the parameters that we're going to set out for them. And, yeah, good. Andrew, thank you for coming. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good day for driving. I got blown here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fighting on the back.
Hopefully not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to Othello. All right, and then I do want to make one reminder on the Form F-1 for Public Disclosure Commission. You have till a week from Friday to do that.
Yeah,
go online. Yeah. Okay. All right, is there any other business, current business? Then at this time, we'd like to go into executive session. It's 7:09 p.m. for approximately 20 minutes to discuss real estate. I don't anticipate any, or there won't be any action taken afterwards, Amber. Okay? Thank you. And council, would you please prepare, staff, would you please prepare the chambers for it?
Oh, before you adjourn, Sean, I have one announcement.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, we're back in session at 7:33 p.m. Wade?
Yeah, just to let you guys know, we did hire an IT guy last week. We've got an IT guy. You have to see this. His name is Rigo Azuna.
Rodrigo,
but he goes by Rigo. And he's worked for CBHA for 11 years, has a degree in information technology, and becomes highly recommended. And when we interviewed him, it was like, okay, all these other people, you know, we just not waste our time with other folks we interviewed, because he is, we believe, the chief and I interviewed, and Stan was on the phone, but the chief and I decided that he could take us to the next level and get everything back to where we should be and then move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited. We'll start on the 18th. He gave us 2-week notice, right? so.
It'll get to release and for what, for CDHA?
Yes, that's a good question. The, sort of funny, Sean was talking to him, because he's a neighbor, Sean. And while he was talking to him, he got like 4, 5, or 6 texts and buzzes on his thing. He gets as many as 40 to 50 trouble tickets a day.
For 325 employees.
Yeah. And so, for, we basically, based on his qualifications, we're offering the same money we're paying Stan, plus, basically the same money we're paying, he's getting paid CDHA, which is about $3,000 or $4,000 more than Stan's making. And he gets better benefits, his health care will be cheaper and better quality, and he wants his life back.
His name's what?
Yep. His boys are into, they're into club baseball. He's coached for years. He's, yep. He,
he's from, he's,
that's, you should have led with that.
Yeah, that, if you'd have led with that, we'd have been fine. The discussion was over.
Yeah, he, he's a native Ophelian, and so is his wife, and they don't plan to leave. And, I mean, he,
he's going to take us to another level.
That's the idea, John.
He's going to start saying, well, you guys should be doing this, you guys should be doing that. You've got to find a way to help him fund it. Because
well,
you guys are in the dark.
And that's what I told Sean. I said, he's going to cost us some money, a little bit more salary, and
improvements.
Yep.
Equipment improvements. So we're really excited about it. I mean, plus his attitude. I mean, Becky knows him. He's like,
even though Gator is very active, very, I've known him for many, many years. I've been here 27 years. I've known him for 20 of those years. So,
yeah, he's energetic.
Yeah, he's very, very energetic.
Yeah, he's energetic.
You guys, I think you guys can look at him.
So he's a junior?
Yes.
He's a junior.
Yes.
Oh, no, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Wade. Is there, there isn't any committee reports that I'm aware of, so having no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:36 p.m.